We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, the original K-State sports show. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
I forgot the music, but welcome to the Power Cat Podcast. Zach and I were drumming and playing lead guitar to
the
music.
We played all of the parts.
Yes. I played the maracas because that's my extent of my talent. Tim Fitzgerald, Zach Carlson, Ryan Gilbert, once again efforting to overcome technology. I just had to sub in on the Big 12 Insiders. My camera didn't work, so now we got the camera working, and now we're getting some feedback in our headphones, which hopefully isn't showing up in the feed. And the studio camera went down, so no dogs this week. Well, we got Gills, but none of my dogs. And we're just going to do this podcast. It's the Power Cat Podcast. We're sponsored by Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Make sure you go check them out right there at the corner of this and that in the town in which we live. We love the fridge. We need the fridge. We want the fridge. And the fridge is open every hour it can legally be open. That's my kind of liquor store right here in Manhattan, about a half mile or less from the home. I could hike there. I'd probably fall down drunk on the way back. So I'm not going to do that.
I don't think you'd make it there up the hill.
I think you're right in my current situation. I probably would. It's like Missouri football game all over, Zach. Oh, my God. It's a mountain I have to climb. So, okay. Yeah. Let's see your questions at Wabash Station. This is how it works. We might have another VIP podcast cooking. I don't know what the boys are up to. We'll see if they can pull that off. That'll be for our subscribers only behind the paywall, but this is the public one. So, we don't touch on much recruiting, just kind of the basics in the show. And of course, you get to ask the questions at Wabash Station as a VIP, and we answer for all to witness or hear. And here's Zach Carlson to start that process.
From TN Cat, what is K-State swinging and missing on these big guys? Excuse me, did I say what? Why is K-State swinging and missing on these big guys in the transfer portal? Is it K-State being used to drive up NIL dollars elsewhere?
Well, I don't think you can generalize one reason, but it's really competitive for those guys. It really is. And you don't know always in a sales process, no matter if it's widgets or basketball scholarships, what motivates your buyer. If you find that, you're going to be very successful. And I don't think they fit the right notes with the right guys, and maybe that'll come. But Ryan Gilbert, give me your thoughts.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I know that people are listening to us for our expert analysis and stuff and all that, but I don't know. I mean, they're getting those guys to campus. They're getting them on visits. Yeah. And from our understanding, they're going well. And so I don't know if they just, I know Fitz, you've talked about it in baseball. You know, you can be a great starting pitcher and all that, but you got to have a good closer. Right. So Maybe that's the issue. They're not able to close these deals out. Now, what's the root cause of that? Again, not sure. I wish I had a better answer. I know it's frustrating for fans, but I don't know. I really don't know the true underlying issue, because like I said, the visits are going well, and you know, K-State's producing NBA talent, and Jerome Tang's such a likable figure. His staff, you go on and on and on. It's a mystery, right? These guys aren't committing.
Yeah. My guess would be just something's not going right in the recruiting process. They're missing a detail, maybe. I don't know. But you're right, Gills. They have to be good at recruiting to get them here, and they do that. They're fine in the NIL space, as far as we know, and they're competitive there. They can pay what players are worth to them, and sometimes, you know, down negotiate, but it's just not working out. They've got some time, but they're running out of quality bigs. That's just the truth. And I've said it on another podcast, I'd go get Jarrell Colbert. I'd get him back. I would try. I'd bring back Day Day too.
Well, Jarrell Colbert just about 10 minutes ago committed to SMU. So
SMU's kind of haunting K-State in the portal this season. Yeah. Well, good for him. That's back in his, you know, closer to home, but if you're going to, guys are going to leave your program so you can upgrade, be damn sure you can upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if the second part of this question's right. You know, is K-State being used to drive up NIL dollars elsewhere?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe, but also, you know, K-State knows what they are when it comes to NIL. And some of these schools that are on these short lists, they aren't necessarily schools that you expect K-State to be able to compete with anyway, from an NIL dollar standpoint.
Right.
You know, when you're competing against blue bloods bring blue blood money. So, you know, you'd like to see K-State win a few of these here and there, but when you look at other guys' shortlists and they go to one of these bigger schools, it makes sense that K-State might be being used as, you know, either a place to get more NIL dollars or, you know, just maximizing value elsewhere.
Agreed.
The one thing that I'll add is I think staff would probably agree with this, that they've done better in high school recruiting rather than portal recruiting. It is different, right? Like you look at David Castillo, RJ Jones and Day-Day Ames, Michaela Britch from the previous recruiting class were all 4-star recruits. And obviously things didn't necessarily work out for those guys, but you know, you go back to Urich stays at Texas and Drum Tang was such a good, you know, assistant at Baylor. Like they were very good at developing those relationships that go on for years and you plant that seed early. That was kind of the hope with Patrick Gongba. Again, things didn't work out with him, but K-State was number two, very close to landing him. And so it's different, and maybe there's some adapting, some adjusting that this staff needs to do, because it is different when you're getting to know some players for a matter of weeks before they make a decision. Now, I know some of these guys in the portal, they've known previously, but portal recruiting is just different than high school recruiting. It's
motivation,
the approach, the message, it's all different.
Yep. I totally agree. And, the story of Bill Snyder, when they had success and they started recruiting at going after a higher level of player, and they ran into different expectations from that level of player. And what they found out was they weren't getting those players. And by the time they realized they weren't getting those players, the players they had built their program on, those type of players were gone, and they had to back up and go find someone else. And that's my fear here, is some more attainable players for those mid-level duties, you know, those mid-level things that you got to have on your roster. Everyone can't be a star. I think a lot of those players are gone now, and they might have been available, but they've been focused on hitting home runs when, you know, a single and a double might set up a home run to be even more important. Why am I doing all these baseball metaphors?
I don't know.
I'm not even that big a baseball guy.
I watched the Big 12 Insiders with you and Big B right before
we were
talking about changeups and curveballs, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that kind of day, I guess.
I know.
One counterpoint to Gil's real quick. Has K-State really been that good at high school recruiting? They have gone 13 months now without a commitment from a high school prospect. They dropped the ball on Patrick in the fall, you know, and people can say, oh, well, they were really close. Well, close doesn't get you anything. Doesn't get you anything right now. You know, they were a finalist, yes, but they didn't get him and he went somewhere else. So, the portal is basically all K-State has right now. And yes, David Castillo is an excellent addition. Excited that he's going to be playing for K-State, but he needs other guys around him and probably some high school guys around him, because without him, this team is going to be all portal guys.
Hmm.
Just all portal guys. Is that how K-State basketball is going to be in the future? I don't know.
Hmm. I think, I don't want to say this. I really don't, but I got to. I think Jerome Tang and his staff need to understand that they have to have a developmental part to their program. And losing guys after one season, maybe that's just the way it is now, and you can't keep those players, but they're going to have that backbone, that spine of self-grown, you know, at home grown players that you have developed in your program, and given them enough time to figure out what role they can play for you and where they need to go and what they need to do. That's just the reality. And if you're going to survive or try to win in the portal, you might have a year like this. I think Kansas had a year like this last year. They got the big guy they really wanted, and you know, they got a good recruit out of Furphy, and then everything else fell apart. So you got to recruit a team, not just the stars. And I don't see that happening right now.
From TConMan08, what could the coaching staff have done differently to keep Day Day Ames and to a lesser extent RJ Jones?
Not knowing all the details, my guess on RJ is they didn't communicate a future. He didn't play much. You know, he came in to shoot a little bit, but he really didn't have a defined thing. You come in and give us this. When they played him, it was like, if it wasn't the end of the game, it was like, oh, hell, we better go to RJ. I mean, you know, they just never seemed to be excited about him playing. So I think RJ made the right choice, honestly, to leave. I mean, he needed to go somewhere else. I wish he'd been out of conference. He just picked TCU. Day-Day, I just don't understand. And we've been told it was his handlers getting him into the portal, that Day-Day liked it here, wanted to stay here, but his family and handler, his agent, if you want to call him that, wanted to see what he was how valuable he was on the open market. And that leads him to take a visit to Virginia. There's not an ounce of me that would want to play basketball at Virginia. I mean, they've had success. Yeah, they've played at high levels, but they played like the worst brand of basketball, the most unsatisfying brand of basketball, unless you just think defense is the best thing in the world. I wouldn't want to mess with that. I'm not sure Day Day is going to find, quote, the better situation.
Especially with, like, Day Day Ames is so crafty and nifty. Like,
right.
You want to go out and ball. And not, you know, again, with Virginia, you can win games doing that, sure. But I feel like he's a guy that just wants to go out and play. And so that's not necessarily the role that he would have.
You're not going to do it at Virginia.
Yeah. So
don't do that. Don't do it. Just take that pass and just pass it around.
Yeah.
I hate that.
51-45 final score. Yeah, right.
Awful.
But the one thing that I'll say is to factually answer the question, like simply put, K-State doesn't go after those guards in the portal. Ames and Jones are still K-State Wildcats with 100% without a doubt. You look at Dorian Finister and Cam Carter. They were gone within a week, maybe 2 weeks of the season ending. It was pretty clear that they were on their way out as the season neared its end, right? I know for a fact that Jones, like, they were locked in and K-State through and through, and they had no problem with going after one or two guys in the portal. But to answer this question, Ames and Jones would still be wearing purple. Well, I guess Jones is a TCU Horned Frog. He'll also be wearing purple. But they would still be in Manhattan if, to answer the question, it's just the fact that they kept going after so many guards.
Which they needed to do. You can't just have two guys and Doug McDaniel running around. I mean, there's a level of maturity from the player standpoint that needs to take place, and a level of understanding of how a roster is built, not just for the player, but for whomever has decided he's a big-time college agent with no, you know, official title, official training, just some guy. You got to have some understanding of how rosters are built. You're going to have more than half your roster will be guards. Sorry. It's the way it is, especially when you're playing this type of offense where really you're playing a big guard and two smaller guards, or, you know, it's just crazy to me that the level of impatience sometimes players show. Right? Let's go.
Okay. Next question's from Came to Elevate. Has the basketball coaching staff lost their edge in recruiting now that players are making decisions based on NIL and playing time?
No, because they can offer both those things. Again, I'm just really baffled by this. I don't know if it's who's doing the recruiting, how they're doing the recruiting, but they can offer both. They can offer playing time, particularly to bigs. Got lots of it available. And the NIL, again, is competitive. I've shared this story. It might have been on a premium podcast. I don't remember. That Jerome Tang met with a group of big guns, said, give me X amount of dollars in NIL, and I'll get you to the Final Four. Now, I didn't say the next year, but you know, if you can sustain that NIL, you'll be successful. And we're not even seeing them have success right now. Getting to the NIT would be achievement. But there's work to be done, and maybe they'll find the right guys. The portal's thinning out. The door's closed now. Nobody new can go in unless they're a grad transfer, and it's getting pretty sparse out there for K-State to find dudes.
Yeah, Zach, I mean, you can go for that. I don't have much else to add here, really. It kind of goes back to what we're talking about earlier. I don't know what the reason is for the recruiting taking a dip here in the portal.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it earlier. You need a closer, and it seems that K-State does not have that closer or that, you know, that closing sales pitch to get guys to come. I don't know. We're back at the same point in May where you're sitting around. There's, you know, a couple decent players that you're in on and you're hoping he chooses here, and then he ends up going somewhere else. So, you know, maybe at this point it is NIL and playing time, but like you said, there's plenty of playing time available right now. There are plenty of minutes available for anyone to come to K-State and play immediately. So I don't know. And you haven't spent any NIL money because you haven't gotten anybody. Basically, you know, like, I mean, there's no reason K-State shouldn't at least, you know, once all the top, you know, the blue bloods, so to speak, spend all of their money and complete their rosters, well, eventually it's going to trickle down and K-State has to complete their roster. So I'm at a loss. You know, there's both of those things should not be a problem right now.
I totally agree with you.
I don't know.
Freaking out. I don't know what's going on with dude. There's a chance he might poop in the room.
Oh.
Just want to let Gills know that. Yep.
Glad I'm not there. Better not poop his underwear. The one thing I was going to say, Doug McDaniel's going to be a starter. David Gasson's going to be a starter.
All right.
I don't know what the staff's conversations have been, but anybody else, I think it's fair games. I think that three starting spots are genuinely, legitimately available. So the minutes are there. And, of course, you guys mentioned the NIL is – supposedly there, right? And so
yeah,
who knows really why they can't get these guys in here.
I would have loved to seen Day and Doug together, and because I would have annoyed everyone by calling him Doug, and I think those two could have complemented each other as two point guards who can also score. I think that would have been really fun to watch, and having those kind of ball handlers on the court would have really helped this program.
Last question of the first half from Mountain Dew Cat 74. Has the basketball program lost the momentum it seemed to have from the Elite Eight run last season?
I think that's fair to say yes. Gills, would you agree with that?
Yep, absolutely. That's 100% fair. And you look at recruiting, on-court results, all that stuff. The momentum is – it did happen. K-State did go to the Elite Eight, and the way that team played, like, it happened. And so – it's not just going to be erased, right? Like people, you know, recruits are going to see that, right? And that's kind of another reason why it's puzzling. Like, you know, K-State maybe is missing out on some guys is the brand. Like K-State basketball seems like a team. If I was a recruit, I'd love to play for Jerome Tang, and Manhattan's a great town, all that stuff. And so obviously they've taken a step back. There's no denying that, but it's silly to say that they can't get right back up to that level with how easy it is to get guys from the transfer portal. And obviously you got to get those guys, but if K-State can reload here over the next week or two or next month or two, if somebody pops up, there's no reason they can't get back to the Elite Eight. But as of right now, where we stand, it's, you know, early May, they have taken a step back from March of 2023, right? When they went to the Elite Eight.
Dude's entered the podcast. I don't know what he's up to. That's it for this half.
I mean,
you got an answer?
I can answer. Yes, they obviously have lost the momentum, but you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's been 13 months since David Castillo committed to K-State, and that was coming off of the heels of the Elite Eight run. I mean,
yeah,
if K-State doesn't go to the Elite Eight, I'm not going to say that David Castillo doesn't pick K-State. There were still plenty of reasons for him to come to K-State, Clint Stewart being his head coach, one of them. I think that, you know, that sealed the deal. I want to say that, I don't know if it ever got out or it was on Instagram or something, but weren't the coaches on the bus on the way home to the hotel after? I think they're on FaceTime with him, freaking out, celebrating after the Michigan State win. You know, it's stuff like that where you're able to, you know, build a future for your program. But, you know, the last I don't want to say 12 months, but the last 6 months for sure, it's been on a downward slide. And then once you lose your critical pieces of what your high school roster was, you know, Day-Day Ames, RJ Jones, two good players that you really would like to have on your team, and they're gone now, having to rebuild with transfer pieces is not ideal. And then when you get to May and you're just stuck at a standstill, I mean, there is absolutely zero momentum right now for this program.
Totally agree. And Gills, give me your opinion on this. I think you recruit a high school player different than a veteran in the portal. Maybe you can get away with it with a younger player, but I think some of these guys in the portal are looking for something different in the fact that, hey, I'm, you know, Cliff, you know, was thinking about the NBA. Can you get me there? And maybe they got better answers somewhere else. Boy, the dogs are restless.
They're restless.
That's it for the first half of the Power Cat podcast. I'm not going to let Gills answer because the dogs are now. I've got a dog licking my hand, and Zach's got another one by him. So we'll be right back. The dogs are going outside, and Ryan Gilbert will be here still misbehaving.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Please visit The Fridge Wholesale Liquor, located at the corner of Claflin and Westport Road in Manhattan, Kansas.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Let's return to the Cats and Dogs studio.
Welcome back to the Power Cat podcast. The questions version. Our folks at Wabash Station are asking the questions we're answering here. The dogs are restless. Gills has got to go to his other job. Zach probably wants to play golf.
Maybe.
And I'm going to need food. Oh, I'm eating Marcus Watts.
Ooh.
I know.
Fancy.
I don't know. In fact, I'm supposed to be there right now. Crap, I forgot. Watts, I'm not there. What? Okay, I better go text him. Let's get back to your questions from Wabash Station. We're sponsored by The Fridge Wholesale Liquor. Make sure you check it out whenever you're in town.
From El Camino Cat, moving over to football, I expect K-State's offense for next season to have a ton of flexibility. What do you expect to see most often? Two tight ends, two running backs, or three wide receivers on the field?
That's a great question. Who asked it?
El Camino Cat.
El Camino. Man, yeah. God, I love your thoughts and questions. I'll probably go with two tight ends because you can throw out of that and also power run. That'd be my choice for that reason. It's got a little more flexibility. It's kind of in the middle of those two formations. But boy, I'm telling you what, splitting a bunch of guys wide and clearing it out for Avery and one of his two running backs seems like a pretty good way to operate offense too. And I also like the ability now to line up and, you know, just be heavy or, you know, even have a lot of receivers on the field with two running backs. It just gives them a bunch of weapons.
Can I say three wide receivers and two tight ends if one of the tight ends is also a wide receiver, like lining up in the slot or something that isn't necessarily a tight end position?
Yeah.
Because I think that's probably more likely that K-State puts, you know, a couple of guys out on the field that are tight ends, but one of them's not going to be tight. One will be out wide.
I agree.
That's my prediction.
I mean, that with Oakley and Swanson and some of the younger guys, they have some flexibility. They don't have one guy like Ben Sennett that can do everything. You can line up and be your blocking tight end. He can be your receiving tight end. He can split out and be a receiver, or he could be your fullback. That's why he was drafted in the second round, that kind of flexibility. And so maybe they'll have to do that more by committee, but they still have an equal level of flexibility. The problem is now, are you going to tip what you're doing by your personnel? And that is the advantage of having a Ben Sennett who can do a little bit of all of it.
K-State's got weapons on the offensive side, without a doubt, but I think the two most lethal or dangerous outside of Avery Johnson, you can make the argument that it's DJ Giddens along with Dylan Edwards. And so I think it'd be a lot of fun to see those two in the backfield at the same time together. You can get creative with any of these things we mentioned, absolutely, but you can get really, really creative with those two guys in the backfield along with Avery Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about that just because, yeah, you know, by K-State by formation, certainly under Bill Snyder, I could predict plays. And it got to be that way a little bit with Colin Klein. I kind of knew what they were up to by formations and personnel. And I think this becomes much more unpredictable, which is a good thing.
Next question is from Call Me T22. Need some positive vibes. What K-State assets can the GPC staff confirm were submitted to EA Sports for the new college football video game?
We saw, the music.
I meant to pull up the tweet. There was a tweet last fall where it was a tweet thread of all of the schools that had the different assets and music. I think it was music and chants for the most part of what they would be submitting. But, you know, it seems I will find this really quick while we talk about this.
I'm going to stare at the camera and say this. I don't care how realistic this video game is. If it's not Mitch Fortner as a PA announcer, it ain't real. I'm not falling for it, man. I'm not. You can put a Willie out there and pretend it's Willie. I bet it won't be thick Willie. Will it, EA? It won't be thick Willie. You're going to just take a normal Willie and put him out there. That's
okay. Horrible. That was enough time. Okay. Found it. This was from Matt Brown on Twitter from October 4th. So pregame runout says Wabash Cannonball, team runout, K-State fight song, Wildcat victory. Kickoff music will be Wabash Cannonball. Third down and fourth down on defense, you'll have Zeppelin and Purple Haze. Assume some band songs.
I like it.
And then a lot of Wildcat victory for different touchdowns and field goals and whatever. There is the alma mater will be there. Happy Trails has been submitted, it seems. They have other team runout listed as Bring On the Cats. So I wonder if that's kind of the basketball, the Kill Bill theme, maybe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, we can see. Eat 'em up, Wildcat growl. So probably the, that might make the game.
Very again, scary. Again.
Yeah, that's good. That's too cat-like and not wild, large cat-like.
Where's Joker and the Thief at on here?
I don't think that Joker and the Thief is listed here.
I wonder how many actual like songs, you know, EA licensed.
I think that if you were trying to license 128 different unique songs, that's going to get expensive.
Right.
And it's probably best to use assets that are controlled by the university.
Yeah.
So when you have fight songs and different, you know, things of that nature, it's easy to put in the chance, put in secondary, tertiary fight songs and make a good video game that it may not necessarily be exact to what the game day experience is, but this is pretty close.
It won't be exact if they don't have the band awkwardly playing Fat Bottom Girls while the dance team's on the field. It's just kind of
awkward. Is Mike Gundy going to be included in when they play on the road at K-State yelling at the band?
That would be really funny. I just scrolled over. There's a second image here. There are some crowd chants and audio. The KSU Wildcats, you know, KSU, KSU, KSU. Yeah. Hey, 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 let's go State from the middle of the Wabash Cannonball, I think.
What are the next two words be that follow that? KSU or bleep?
Yeah, nope. Bleep. Nope.
This video game is rated E for everyone. Gills, okay. So
Jerome Tang will be happy with
even that. KU fans, even Jerome Tang. Maybe a first down chant. It just says first down. So, it does say led by PA announcer saying good for a Wildcat, and then it'll be first down, so that was probably recorded.
That'll be Mitch.
We'll see. KSU Wildcat. It probably some push-ups based on the language here of these notes. So probably
for the video or the user, because I'm not going to play if I got to do push-ups.
You will not have to do any push-ups playing this. That appears to be
so. The Big 12 refs suck chant is not part of it.
It does not appear to be the case.
It's not going to be realistic because you could use that a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, no.
Are you guys going to play this game when it arrives?
I don't have a PS5 at the moment. So
yeah, my Xbox answer is not good enough.
Fortunately, no, but I will see if I can acquire one here in the next couple months.
How old is the Xbox One?
11 years. PS4 is 11 years. I have a PS4. It's crazy to say it's 11 years old.
Really? PS4 is 11 years old?
Yeah, 2013. What's crazy is GTA 5 is 10 years old. Or no. It's GTA 5 is 11 years old as well. But it came out before the PS4 came out. And it was on PS3 initially. Actually, it might even be 12 years. I don't know when GTA 5 came out. But it's been so long since that game came out, and GTA 6 is off into the future still.
I will not be getting a PS5 because I would literally be in this studio hooked up to our big screen in here playing approximately 20 hours a day.
I don't think that helps with your sleep schedule. I think your sleep schedule would be a little upset with you, and I think it would hijack your body.
I know.
And I go straight to bed with the dogs.
I need to point out, as a guy who's been married for 34 years, that I don't fear my sleep schedule. I fear my wife. I will be put to sleep permanently if I do this. So,
okay.
Truth.
Next question is from Snarecat3. With EA making a college football game for the first time in a decade, who do you think is K-State's top player rating in the following categories? And I'll go down the list. There's a dozen categories here, but we'll start with speed. Who would be the fastest player in the video game?
It's supposed to be Avery, if it's realistic.
Is Avery the fastest?
On the team, yeah.
Faster than Dylan Edwards?
Well, I don't know about that. I literally don't, but him and Brooks are the guys, I think.
Gills? Anything?
I feel like Avery is going to be the answer for like all these, right?
Yeah. See, this is a disadvantage. I've never played this. I've never been exposed to this. I don't know how they work it.
Acceleration. So that's not, it's off the line. It's speed.
It's me.
So not necessarily, speed is just full speed. Acceleration is how quickly can you get to your top speed.
Right. Me at Taco Lucha after 6 Pacificos. I'm on the patio and I got to get to the bathroom.
Is your ankle taped?
I probably should. My acceleration speed is frightening. Frightening. I run over waitresses. I'm just going, man, because I got to go.
I'd give acceleration probably to Dylan Edwards. Just being a quick running back.
Jace,
probably,
maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe Jace Brown. Strength. Who is the strongest player on the team? Probably a lineman.
Yeah. Uso?
Uso is probably who I'd go with. You got to go Uso on strength. I don't think if it was this year's or the 2023 team, I might say Cooper Beebe. Probably be the strongest as far as an offensive lineman.
What was that?
Can you guys hear that? They're doing construction in Aggieville. So basically outside my window. So I apologize.
Nice. That's exciting.
I apologize. Yeah.
It sounded like you had a high squeaker there. I don't know. The amount of work that goes into this is astonishing. To get all these players somewhat right, all the assets for every school.
I would argue that there's some dude at a computer each day. It's his only job. And he's mostly randomly writing numbers down based on last year's stats.
Yeah, that's not going to bode well for K-State. A lot of those guys are gone.
That's a good point. Catching. Who is the best catcher on the team?
Jace? I think so. Think about it.
No, I agree.
Yeah, probably Jace Brown. Spectacular catch. I'm actually unfamiliar with this stat category. So maybe I'm assuming the likelihood of having a tough catch in tight defensive windows.
I'm gonna go with Kevin Lockett.
I don't know if he's on
that's the dad
in the game.
Best receiver I've ever seen in person. I'm gonna say Dante Cephas, maybe. Maybe go with someone just totally off the charts here.
Why not Sterling Lockett then?
The apple didn't fall from the tree the right way. It's
a slow fall. Analogy?
No, that's a
fruit.
Newton. Yeah.
Maybe Keegan Johnson on spectacular catch?
Could be.
Maybe.
I don't know. We didn't see that much of him last year.
Yeah. The next one is hit power. Who has the biggest hit power? Got to be Austin Moore, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Do they have a true headhunter right now? They don't. Of course, you really can't have one anymore. They get suspended. I don't know. Bill, do you have any thoughts on any of this? Because I don't.
I was going to say Austin Moore.
Okay. Yeah.
Tackle. Who has the best tackle rating?
I think Austin Moore. Again,
probably go Austin Moore again.
Yeah.
Next one's toughness.
Me.
Toughness.
Me.
That's it. Toughness.
Toughness.
I'll go Uso.
I don't know. I might go. One of the offensive linemen. You gotta be tough, son of a gun, to play that.
Yeah. I keep thinking of current players from last year, not players that are gonna be playing this
year.
Doesn't help. Next one is lead block.
That's Cooper Beebe.
Probably Cooper Beebe. And that was last year's team.
Damn it.
Man,
I'm truly interested to see who fills that role. Because he and Gillum were both very good at pulling.
Yeah. I'm going to skip over the last few here because they are not as exciting as the first ones. So we're just going to go overall rating. Who do you think will be the highest overall rated player for K-State? I think it's going to be DJ Giddens.
Could be. You might be
because
right.
I think Avery probably didn't have enough
film
last year, enough stats last year to have him be appropriately rated. I think he'll get a ratings adjustment pretty quickly in September, and his rating will go up. It'll be interesting to see if EA Sports sends out ratings adjusters like they do for Madden. They'll send them out to NFL games, and they'll be on the field as it's a marketing thing. But
no, I think it's good. It keeps the game fresh and updates it. I mean, it'd be frustrating to have a game with Avery Johnson based on what he did last year because he won't have very good passing skills when we know he does. So I'd hope they get that adjusted. Yeah.
Cole did a piece on that probably a couple months ago, right? But he projected who the best, like 10, I think, top 15, 10.
No, that's right. He did do that. We should go use that as a cheat sheet. Yeah.
See, I got to admit, I didn't read that story, Cole, because I have no interest in this video game.
But you'd play it for 20 hours a day if you had it.
Yes. Zelda almost led to my divorce. And that's not a side girl. That's a video game.
All right. Last question of the podcast from Beef Pack.
What?
Beef Pack.
I love it.
For Fitz, what were your thoughts on your visit with Travis Goff?
Very nice guy. The whole crew over there is wonderful. I've known Colin Sexton for quite a while. Families know each other. But I think people misunderstand interviews. You thought I was going to go in and yell at him or something. You know, I wanted to have a discussion. My goal with this was to get him on the record saying what needed to be said. And we did, and we'll see where that leads. I don't know if it'll do anything. I don't think he was completely forthcoming on some of the stuff. I wish I'd pushed him more on the estimate part but I don't know construction, and I got back and everyone said, you bet your contractor can break that out. They're used to that. So if you eliminate this piece of the project, how much do you eliminate? I think a lot of the stuff that where I missed on that, a lot of the stuff that would probably be assigned to the convention center would actually be necessary for the football stadium. If you didn't have the convention center, you'd still have a lot of the stuff. And that's probably where I came up short. And I don't see how they're going to make it. And his answer was, well, we got to make it. Well, that's not how it works. I mean, if you get bad weather and you fall behind, you just, this is a huge gamble. I sincerely hope they get it done for that season because that would be greatly disappointed. But I also, we drove by Zach and it looks goofy with that student section still there. It just does.
Yeah. The other side.
They've got to get that done as soon as they can.
They've got to tear down the east side. They can't leave that up and renovate it. There's no way.
See, I didn't even consider this. You know, the whole birdcage thing or whatever you want to call it, the lighting, which is pretty cool looking.
Uh-huh.
It won't be there for that. They'll go 3/4 of the way or 2/3 of the way around, and then they'll just have their traditional lights that they have. Let's just fly trying to get on the podcast. The traditional lights that they've had over that section, it's going to look really awkward. So I hope they get that fixed pretty soon. I hope they come up with that money, but I don't know.
I mean, good for them for building a football stadium, because
you don't want, here's another thing though. Sorry, Zach.
Yeah.
I didn't quite grasp or even consider this. This stadium had a track around it for its entire history up until recently. And that space was just covered up with turf.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving the stands in. The end zone where the convention center is, the bowl, and is moving in significantly.
Yes.
Because if you look at old pictures, there was a lot of empty space there. And as Travis Goff said, they awkwardly had built different things to fill space.
Kind of the touchdown club or whatever it was.
And now those seats will be much closer to the game with a much better viewing angle. And it creates a lot more space between stadium's edge and the street.
Just a better use of space, period.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, good for them for building a stadium and getting the ball rolling here, because we don't like working in bad stadiums, you know.
No.
Like it was probably the worst stadium that we go to regularly and cover football games.
I didn't think about this. Is the visiting locker room going to stay the same?
Ooh.
Because that's a big piece they need to fix.
Yeah. I think that there's certain things that should be required of
Big 12 institutions.
Of Big 12 institutions, and that includes having a proper visiting locker room and a proper visiting media room.
Exactly.
I mean, nothing will top how bad Missouri was last year.
God.
Nothing will top that. But KU is easily the worst media room in the Big 12.
Well, we pretty much abandoned it now and just do it outside.
And you basically have to. TCU's is only bad because it's in the loading dock. At least it's separate from everything, but it's not a true room that's closed off. But for the most part, KU is easily the worst setup. It is not fun.
Yeah, I'm really curious when they get this in practice, if the convention center will really be a convention center having lots of events, because that's what's being sold here, or if it's going to be like the Shamrock Zone. Yeah, you can have your wedding reception there, but it's a game day facility. So I think their intention is to use it much more for conventions. But of course, we were sold concerts with Bramlage Coliseum. We'll get lots of concerts, and that hasn't panned out that way. And
but also, what possible? I get that the convention center is going to be decently sized, but it's still a football stadium. It's still attached to a football stadium. It's not like a Kansas City convention center or a large metro convention center. I mean, look at Manhattan's convention center. I would argue that there isn't enough space to make something that big in that space that they're at. So I'm curious what kind of conventions they're going to be going after, especially when you compare it to the types of things that Manhattan would get.
Well, and also parking is going to be a major issue for that convention center. Yeah. There's nothing really adjacent to it if you're hauling in a bunch of stuff for your convention. I think it'll be really interesting. And I hope they get going with the actual gateway and that side of it. But it's my understanding also they're having a hell of a time finding a hotel company that wants to be located right there. And I think that's interesting. I didn't know that. It's funny, after you come back from one of these things, people send you, well, you should have asked about that. And I want to respond, you should have told me about that. I didn't know until you just told me. It's very frustrating. Why didn't you ask about this? Well, I didn't have any idea. You really needed to share it.
Does KU have a hospitality school on campus?
I think they do.
I'm surprised that, you know, places with hospitality schools, K-State included, doesn't do what Oklahoma State does. They have a luxury hotel on campus run by the hospitality school, essentially.
What brand is it? It's a brand, though.
It's Oklahoma State's own thing. It's where the players stay on game day. They do their little cowboy walk up to the stadium.
That'd be pretty cool for KU.
Yeah, it'd be a cool thing to do.
Nope. I don't know. I think the culture at Kansas being so tied to that stadium did them no favors. I personally think the stadium should have become the amphitheater, big enough for graduation, big enough, cozy enough for concerts, and they should have built somewhere else. That's just me. I'm a know-it-all. I know everything. I have opinions about almost everything, and it drives KU fans crazy. That's good. That's it for the Power Cat Podcast. Gills, you got any final thoughts? That
can you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it at all.
I've been muted this whole time.
It's
been loud.
Let's be honest. The podcast is better when we can't hear Gills. That's not true at all. I'm sorry, Gills. I'm sorry. I'm so mean to you.
It's okay. I'm used to it.
Jerk.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.